following is a Podcast One and Reels channel presentation.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
In 1995, Selena Quintanilla Perez is seemingly on top of the world. She has already found fame in the genre of Tejano music and is now poised to cross over to American pop music charts with her forthcoming album, Dreaming of You. But the beloved singer's dream becomes a nightmare when, at just 23 years old, she is ruthlessly gunned down in cold blood at a Texas motel.
This is one of those amazing American tragedies.
The culprit, a disgruntled ex-employee and founder of Selena's fan club.
To be cut down in the prime of your life at the hand of your fan club president is a tragedy upon tragedies.
Legions of mourning fans are shocked, outraged, and out for blood.
You can't imagine such sadness, disappointment, and really evil.
The outrage was widespread, and there was so much anger.
Who was this mysterious woman who managed to gain the trust of one of the world's fastest-rising music stars?
She's very manipulative. She knows how to get people to do exactly what she wants.
What secrets did the killer hold, and what transformed her from pining groupie into the fan from hell? A startling new examination of never-before-seen evidence reveals the violence of the crime. Meet Yolanda Saldivar, just one of millions who worshipped the reigning queen of Tejano music until murder made her famous. Selena Quintanilla Perez was a superstar to Spanish-speaking music fans, a fashion designer, an actress, and a spokesperson. She was poised to achieve even more success with the release of her English-language music debut. Her murder in March of 1995 cut this meteoric career short and stunned fans.
When Selena was shot and died, this became the biggest news event in Texas, at least, but it was an event that resonated all around the world, particularly in Latin America. It was a big deal.
The death of the 23-year-old international star made her even more famous.
It introduced Selena to the world, not in the way that Selena should have been introduced to the world.
In 1997, a Hollywood biopic about Selena catapulted actress Jennifer Lopez to stardom.
Jennifer Lopez got Selena down to a T. It's scary to watch that film.
Many people became familiar with Selena because of the movie, which was a star-making performance by Jennifer Lopez.
Since her death, both Latino and mainstream media have written books and produced programs about Selena. Interest in the life of the so-called Queen of Tejano music has never waned. Reality star Kim Kardashian and pop singer Demi Lovato dress up as Selena for Halloween in 2017. And the press takes notice.
Her stature when she was alive has grown immeasurably since her death. And part of that is just the tragic nature of it.
Compounding the tragedy is the fact that Selena considered her killer, Yolanda Saldivar, a trusted friend.
It was the worst kind of betrayal because I truly believe that in Selena's mind, Yolanda Saldivar was the best friend she's ever had.
In Corpus Christi, Texas, future singer Selena Quintanilla shows musical talent early on. She is the youngest of three children.
She had to learn how to sing, but she had an innate charisma that radiated. She had it in her, and I'm sure there was a lot of encouragement coming from within the family.
Estoy enamorada de ti. Why can't I just say I love you?
Honey, that's the music that people want to hear.
Abraham Quintanilla, Selena's father, teaches his three children how to play music and starts a band called Selena y los Dinos.
In English, the name of the band translates to Selena and the Guys. Her brother A.B. plays the keyboards and the guitar and also writes the music. Her sister, Suzette, plays the drums, And of course, Selena is the lead singer.
Yolanda Saldivar, the woman who will be irrevocably linked to Selena, grows up in San Antonio, Texas.
Yolanda was short in stature, kind of a plain Jane in many ways. Yolanda doesn't have a whole lot going for her.
Like many Mexican Americans, Yolanda becomes a fan of the music genre known as Tejano.
Tejano music. It's a regional sound and a synthesis of a lot of different sounds, but largely it's based on the polka rhythm instead of the cumbia rhythm. That's what distinguishes Tejano from other Latino musics in the United States. It's becoming a big deal. And Yolanda is swept up in Tejano music at this time. Perfect timing. This is when the Tejano Music Association begins having Tejano Music Awards in San Antonio, to the point that it grows so big, they have 40,000 people in the Alamo Dome attending an awards show. It becomes like the Oscars or the Grammys, except for Mexican Americans in Texas. Very specific. And Yolanda is drawn to this world.
Saldivar is also drawn to the healthcare field. In the early 1980s, she finds a job working for a dermatologist. It is here where the first signs of trouble in her life begin.
We had evidence that she had stolen some money from a doctor that she worked for in the past.
Yolanda, I'll be back in 20.
Whether it's been need or just an opportunity, took money that wasn't hers.
Yolanda got busted for stealing on the job, and then she got sued for $9,200.
Yolanda settles out of court with her former employer and studies to become a registered nurse. Meanwhile, in Corpus Christi, Selena and her siblings get an education as well. In their case, it's in the art of performing.
This was not just an average family band. But what is pretty clear to me is you listen to something that she recorded in 85 versus something you recorded in 90. During that period, she became a singer. And not just a good singer, she became a powerful singer and a confident singer.
Her father, Abraham, guided the band, and they started selling records and traveling around South Texas, and they developed a fan base. In 1987, Selena won Best Female Vocalist for the Tejano Music Awards, and she was just 16 years old.
Growing up in Texas, Selena only speaks English and doesn't learn to speak Spanish.
You know, she grew up like a lot of people in Texas and South Texas grow up. A lot of Hispanic people were not teaching their children Spanish.
Selena studies Spanish to answer questions from Spanish-speaking media, but it's a struggle.
¿Alguien tiene preguntas?
Selena, mucha gente dice que las mujeres no deberían de cantar música tejana. ¿Qué le quieres decir a esas personas?
Pues yo creo que la música es demostrar que están abocados.
Do you mean to say equivocados?
Did I say that wrong? Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. Estoy tan avergonzada.
In 1989, a major record company signed Selena as a solo artist.
Contigo quiero estar.
It's more like estar than a star, honey. Contigo quiero estar. I can hear your Texas R in there. Let's try again.
As Selena's sound evolves, so does her style.
She was going for almost like rock star type clothing. So bustiers, Madonna wears them. Selena's starting to wear them.
It was a very bold kind of fashion. He wasn't cool with that, like any father shouldn't be cool with that.
It's not like dressing slutty, but it's like you always show more on stage than you would in normal life. But it's provocative.
By 1990, Yolanda Saldivar finishes her education and receives a nursing degree. She manages to find work as a nurse in a San Antonio hospital. Yolanda also makes time to enjoy Tejano music.
She starts hanging out in the Tejano scene, and her timing's pretty good. This is when Tejano becomes more than just a regional thing, a little, you know, South Texas dance hall deal. It's blowing up, and you have major record labels from Los Angeles and Miami are moving into San Antonio, trying to sign up bands left and right.
Yolanda isn't satisfied with simply being a fan of Selena.
Yolanda Saldivar wanted to start a Selena fan club. So she reached out to Q Productions asking for permission to start one from her San Antonio home.
A fan club? We can't pay for something like that.
No, sir. You won't have to. I'll take care of all the mailings, the newsletters, and all the merch.
She's very manipulative. She knows how to get people to do exactly what she wants.
I put myself through college to become a nurse. I've taken in my brother's kids when he abandoned them. I've taken on responsibilities, and I'll see them through.
Working out of her San Antonio home, Yolanda sends t-shirts and posters to fans when they join the nonprofit club and pay a membership fee.
Selena didn't have a fan club, so Yolanda began the fan club and named herself president.
Saldivar eventually gets to meet Selena in person. By now, the fan club has grown exponentially.
Selena!
Oh my gosh, hey, you must be Yolanda!
Yes.
So nice to meet you!
So
I'm sorry that it took so long, but wow, you've accomplished quite a lot.
I'm just following in your footsteps.
Selena eventually asked her to become an employee. Just started paying her.
I think the dynamic there was, you know, there was a level of jealousy and wanting to be like her.
Selena was never convinced that anybody would want to hurt her. She thought everybody thought like she did, which is she loved people.
Yolanda Saldivar has been promoted from fan club president to trusted employee. But Yolanda's greed and obsession will put her and Selena on a collision course. Yolanda Saldivar runs the fan club for Selena, the singer who has become a superstar in the Spanish-language genre of Tejano. Selena's popularity is skyrocketing, and people are taking notice.
She had a dynamic to her that just none of her contemporaries had.
Selena was approached by Coca-Cola, and this was huge, because most Tejano singers were male, and they endorsed beer. But Selena was different.
Beer you sell because you're playing in dance halls, and that's what you sell to keep dance halls open. Everybody drinks Coca-Cola. There are no bounds when you get to Coca-Cola. That's a global brand.
Can't beat the real thing.
Though she sings mostly in Spanish, Selena increases her fan base when she crosses over into English-speaking markets.
What amazed me was the broad range of people that she attracted. Her audience consisted not just of teenagers, but little children, 3 and 4 years old, were singing her songs, and elderly people in their 70s and 80s were singing her songs all across the spectrum of ages.
Selena's father, Abraham, is allegedly very protective of her.
There was a very talented rock and roll guitarist in her band named Chris Perez. And the sparks flew. And before you knew it, they were having a secret love affair.
It was an interesting relationship because he was not your typical macho dude, and he was sweet. He was kind. So he was like almost Prince Charming.
Those two were together on the bus and on tour and all that kind of stuff. He was like practically the only male anywhere close to her age that wasn't related to her, that she would be around.
Chris Perez became the love of Selena's life, even though it's at the risk of pissing off Papa Bear.
You already know I'm a
Yeah, we got her.
This stuff's here and now.
I'm a grown woman, Dad.
I don't care what you think you are. This is over.
This is not for you to decide.
Guys, please calm down.
Chris, you put my daughter's hard work at risk. Do you want me to break this band up?
He kicks Chris Perez out and is angry with Selena.
And his daughter gets so bummed out and so depressed and so not into what she's doing that he's about to lose his meal ticket.
Despite Abraham trying to break them up, Selena and Chris will not be deterred. On April 2nd, 1992, they elope in a courthouse ceremony.
His interests in life were two things: and only two things, his music and Selena. Nothing else.
Chris rejoins Selena's band. Her personal and professional lives are seemingly back on track.
Selena was in love, and her music career had never been better. She also had a passion for fashion, and she started working with designer Martin Gomez. Together, the two of them started two boutiques called Selena Etc.
Selena asks her assistant, Yolanda Saldivar, to join this new venture. Unbeknownst to Selena, this decision will have deadly consequences.
Yolanda started working for Selena, mostly as a do-everything kind of assistant, anything Selena needed to be done.
She's got to do all the numbers, and we got to make it look beautiful.
Selena eventually got Yolanda involved in the management of the boutiques and even gave her the cute nickname Buffy.
To a point where she was almost completely running Selena's life, scheduling her appointments, making sure that whoever wanted to speak with Selena, wanted to do anything with Selena, had to go through her.
Selena's fashion designer, Martin Gomez, visits Yolanda's home to discuss clothing for the boutique. But when he enters, Martin sees how deeply Yolanda's obsession with Selena runs.
Here you go. Oh, and Martin, I know you wanted to meet with Selena this week, but she's really too busy. So I rescheduled for next week, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for letting me know.
Everything that Yolanda is because of Selena. And that obsession, which Martin Gomez saw when he went to Yolanda's house and saw how much she was all Selena all the time, the obsession is almost natural because there wasn't anything else going on in her life. Is that scary? Is it wrong? I mean, fans are fans, and I think that's kind of indicative of a fan, but this was not just any fan. This was a fan that was handed the keys to the star's car and given the pen to the star's checkbook and told, go at it. And she did.
Selena was so busy all the time. She had so many things going that she welcomed somebody telling her, you need to be here, you need to be here, and also controlling the people that wanted to talk to her. And some people are very good at that. Some people are very good at abusing that. Selena had so much trust in Yolanda, so much trust. And, of course, Selena trusted everybody. But she trusted Yolanda so much that she completely turned over everything to Yolanda. And that's where the abuse of trust started.
Selena focused on her music career and on her fashions. And Yolanda focused on everything else, including the finances for the fan club and the boutiques.
But Yolanda starts writing checks to herself and making up fake invoices.
And before you know it, there was a cash flow problem.
Abraham continued to be the business mind, but he was certainly wanting to make sure his daughter's businesses were doing well, looked over the books there, and noticed some discrepancies, cash flow issues in Selena Boutique. There were all these checks that started popping up. Yolanda had made out checks to herself or to cash. And, you know, what was this for? And telling people when she was working at the fan club, don't make the check out of the fan club, make it out to me.
Yolanda took the deception to the next level, and she bought Selena what seemed to be a thoughtful gift, a friendship ring.
It's a ring with a Fabergé egg. Selena was a collector of Fabergé eggs.
The ring, the Fabergé egg with diamonds that Yolanda had given to Selena, allegedly as a personal gift, but one which was paid for by all the employees of the Selena Etc. boutique in San Antonio.
The employees contributed $3,000 for the ring, and it was supposed to be a group gift. But Yolanda pocketed that money, then charged the ring to Selena's corporate card, and then turned around and gave Selena the ring. It's unbelievable.
Selena loved it. She loved the ring. She said it's beautiful, and she put it on, and she said she would never take it off because they were going to be friends. She and Yolanda were going to be friends for life.
In February of 1995... Selena fills the Houston Astrodome with more than 60,000 fans.
Selena's popularity was skyrocketing, not just here in America, but in Central and South America as well. She headlined Miami's Calle Ocho Festival, and 100,000 people showed up. On top of that, she was nominated for her first Grammy. Things couldn't be going better.
Selena also appears in the Hollywood movie Don Juan DeMarco, starring Faye Dunaway, Johnny Depp, and Marlon Brando. She plays a small part as a mariachi singer. As Selena moves into movies and television, Yolanda Saldivar continues to oversee Selena's fashion and boutique business.
Selena had a plan to move the manufacturing of her production down to Monterrey, Mexico to cut costs. And Yolanda was managing the deal.
Yolanda played a critical role in this because Yolanda was fluent in Spanish. So she was already translating for Selena as she entered the world of fashion and music in Monterrey.
It helped solidify working together with Yolanda. It really gave Selena more confidence in Yolanda that she, Yolanda could do things and say things that Selena couldn't.
But Selena's business is suffering. Funds are allegedly unaccounted for. And Yolanda is firing employees at an alarming rate. Selena, however, remains faithful to her friend.
Is everything all right?
We'll be fine. Yolanda's working with her Monterrey contacts, and every business is going to go through ups and downs.
We've lost over half of our employees.
Yeah, but Yolanda's juggling so much, and she's trying to make things work.
Well, what if she's not?
It got to a point where Mr. Gomez also said, I can't work with Yolanda Saldivar. But he knew there was something wrong there. Mr. Quintanilla knew there was something wrong there. The only one who was blind to it, who couldn't see it, was Selena.
I finished the garment. I come back, and the seams are torn out.
Did you see her do something?
I can't do this anymore. And I think you should be very, very careful, Selena. There's something very wrong with her.
And there certainly was. Yolanda was firing boutique employees left and right because of cash flow problems. But those problems were because of Yolanda. She was stealing money from the company bank account.
Things had gone wrong with the books. And there was a meeting. And Abraham confronted Yolanda.
I'm trying to make things work.
Work? By stealing from my sister?
It's Selena's business, not family business.
Selena, we should handle this.
Mr. Quintanilla had been doing a little investigation on his own and found out that there was some money missing, not just from your fan club and also from the boutiques. There was money missing everywhere. Mr. Quintanilla brought all the evidence he had discovered. He brought all these checks and asked Yolanda point blank, how do you explain this? Yolanda had no explanation, none whatsoever.
There's just so much it's unaccounted for, Buffy.
I have the paperwork, Mija.
We trusted you, but you're a liar and a thief.
You know, you've been stealing from us. We're going to get you. We're going to call the authorities. We're going to have to press charges. We're going to have to fire you. What Abraham told Yolanda scared Yolanda, and that's why Yolanda went out and got a gun.
Yolanda feels the target of her obsession is slipping from her grasp. And if she can't have Selena, no one can.
Murder Made Me Famous. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
In 1995, Selena, the singer whose Spanish language recordings have brought her international fame, is dealing with a personal crisis. Her fan club president and boutique manager, Yolanda Saldivar, has been accused of mishandling funds from both businesses. As a result, Selena's family fires her and threatens legal action. Allegedly feeling cornered, Yolanda takes matters into her own hands. On March 11, 1995, Yolanda Saldivar visits a gun store in San Antonio called A Place to Shoot and purchases a Taurus 38 Special handgun. Saldivar also buys 20 hollow point bullets, the kind designed to expand upon impact and cause maximum damage. Meanwhile, Selena's family remains suspicious of Yolanda's bookkeeping.
And now Selena needs the bank documents for her 1994 tax returns. Yolanda keeps promising that she'll bring them to Corpus Christi, but she's not coming through. And now it's March 30th.
Income tax is due April 15th. Selena needs a lot of documents, financial documents, that are in the possession of one person, Yolanda Saldivar.
I really like this color, though. That's what I wanted to see. It's Yolanda. I really need to call her.
Okay.
Yolanda, I need those papers.
I have them with me here at Days Inn.
To Days Inn?
Something horrible happened, Mijo, when I was in Mexico. Can you come over by yourself and we can talk?
A hysterical Yolanda tells Selena that she's been assaulted, and she'll give her the details when Selena retrieves the tax documents.
Yolanda is at the Days Inn, room 158. I've got all the records here. And Chris Perez drove Selena over to the Days Inn.
I don't trust her.
It'll be okay. I'll be right back.
I love you.
Once she was inside Yolanda's motel room, Yolanda had a story, though, of something traumatic that had happened to her.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, when I was in Monterey, I got raped.
Yolanda describes being raped by two men during her trip to Mexico, and that they brutally assaulted her with a wooden baseball bat.
The red flags have been raised now.
After some consoling, Selena eventually gets what she believes are the tax documents she's been requesting. But Selena soon discovers this isn't the case.
They're still not in there.
The following morning, March 31st, Friday, early in the morning, the phone starts ringing.
Yolanda calls again, and before Selena can tell her that the tax documents weren't in the stack, Yolanda ups the ante on her assault story.
Yolanda's hesitating. She always has some excuse why she can't give her the documents.
This time, she tells Selena that she needs to go to the hospital.
I truly believe Selena thought something bad had happened to Yolanda, and she wanted to help her and get it checked out. Let's get this resolved. So Selena leaves and drives herself over to the Days Inn and takes her to the hospital.
When Yolanda tells Selena she's bleeding from the alleged assault, Selena takes her to the hospital.
The doctor examines her, finds absolutely no indication or any evidence of an assault.
That's the moment that Selena realized, you know, you have been lied to. That's it.
Yolanda, I'm taking you back to the hotel and I'm getting the statements. I got a studio session. I'm already running late. Please, stop, Yolanda. I don't think we should see each other for a while.
They go back to room 158. The arguing continues.
Papers aren't here, Yolanda. My father was right.
No, Abraham was wrong, Mia.
Please stop, Yolanda. Please. Just stop.
Selena takes the ring off. It's the ring that Selena said, I will never take off, because this is the ring that symbolizes our friendship forever and ever. She said, Yolanda, you're not only not going to work for me, we're not going to be friends anymore.
Selena takes off the ring and holds it in her hand.
And that symbol telegraphs to Yolanda, this really is it.
Oh, Selena!
Please stop, Yolanda, please! Stop!
Oh, I'll make this right!
The shot hits Selena in the back and comes out the front. Selena's reaction immediately is to start running.
Bitch!
Yolanda brings the gun down and she says, bitch! Screams at her. This is when all the witnesses in the hotel start watching what's going on. And they all say they cringe because they thought she was going to shoot again. She runs down toward the lobby.
Oh my God. It's okay, it's okay. Hold on.
You're locked up. Room 152.
Bubba, come out one more.
We have a woman ran in the lobby since she's been shot. She's laid on the floor and there's blood.
Okay, who shot her? The lady in 158. Her name?
Yes.
Yolanda? Yolanda?
The reigning queen of Tejano has been shot. And the potential for even more violence escalates when the attacker engages in an armed standoff with police. March 31st, 1995. Selena, the Grammy Award-winning Spanish-language singer, has been shot by friend and former employee Yolanda Saldivar. News of the shooting spreads, and Selena's family rushes to Corpus Christi Memorial Hospital for an update on her condition. 2 hours after she's gunned down, Selena's family is told the unimaginable.
Just lost a lot of blood.
Is she going to be all right?
I'm sorry, sir.
No.
To hurt Mr. Quintanilla, take away the thing he most loves, the person he most loves, take away his daughter. I cannot imagine. The horrible pain of losing a child like that.
Selena is dead at the age of 23.
The last words Selena ever said in this world, this voice, this beautiful voice that had brought joy to so many people, the absolute last words were, Yolanda Saldivar, room 158.
Selena never wanted any trouble. She was running away when Yolanda shot her.
This was a bullet that just happened to hit in exactly the wrong place, you know, because just a little bit this way or a little bit that way, and you would have had, a grave wound, but probably one that she could have recovered from, assuming that was the only shot that was going to be fired.
One single gunshot wound in the back, out the front. All the doctors who testified, they all said the same thing. If the gunshot wound had been just a little higher or a little lower, just a little bit, she survives. But it hit the subclavian artery and severed it. And that's really what killed her. She bled to death inside her own body.
The fact that it hit the artery and just unleashed a river of blood that started right in front of room 158, and that trail went all the way to the office, which was a pretty good hall across the middle of the Days Inn interior. I mean, their inside section across the pool, through the St. Augustine grass, into the office. And that's where it ended. That's where her life ended.
It was a shocking story to find out that she had been shot. It was hard to believe that she was dead.
How could a fan club president, a beloved employee, a trusted friend, shoot the person she admired in the back? This was someone who trusted her with every part of her life. What snapped?
She was angry. She was losing everything. She was angry with Mr. Quintanilla for what he had done. She was going to lose the life that she knew. She was going to go back to being nobody, and this was not going to happen. If she was going down, everybody was going down.
And it really ended that moment that ring came off, and when that ring came off, the gun went off.
I believe if she had not taken the ring off, we may not even be talking about this today. I think that changed the whole course of history. When she takes the ring off, everything changes. The whole story changes.
Meanwhile,
Yolanda Saldivar remains at the hotel where the shooting occurred. She sequesters herself in her vehicle and holds a gun to her head as police attempt to negotiate her surrender. A local radio station soon broadcasts news of the shooting. Fans gather at the scene.
Yolanda stands off against police with a gun to her head, threatening suicide.
The standoff between police and Saldivar is televised live on Corpus Christi stations.
When I arrived, the parking lot of the business across the street was full, the streets. I looked up and there were cars for a great distance from the hotel all along the freeway. Never seen anything like that before. You know, as a negotiator, you're trying to get your mind together. But all I really heard from distances was the people yelling, "Selena."
Miss Saldivar! Miss Saldivar! Larry Young! Listen to me! Listen to me, man! Put the gun down! We can work through this, okay?
I did something bad! I've disgraced my family! I didn't want to hurt her! I loved her, you know? I loved her!
Yolanda cried a lot. She said things like, you know, I loved her, she was my friend.
I told her that if she was not a runner, I didn't want to be a runner. I told her that.
Amanda. Okay.
I didn't
do
anything wrong to her.
I think she thought that Selena was hurt. She was shot, but not dead.
At one point, Yolanda hears a radio report that Selena is dead. To prevent her from committing suicide, police tell her not to believe the news.
Yolanda was seriously thinking about suicide because she mentioned it so much.
Don't help her.
I want to kill myself.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that, Yolanda.
I want to kill myself.
No, you're not.
Hour after hour, Larry Young, the chief negotiator for the Corpus Christi Police Department, tries to get Saldivar to surrender.
Knowing Selena was dead and having a pretty good idea that this woman with the gun to her head was the one that did it, he just basically wanted her to go ahead and do it. Just even sitting there in that truck, all I see is selfishness.
It was Abraham! He did this! He did this!
She went on so far as to say that he caused this conflict because he didn't like her, that Mr. Quintanilla raped her. Yeah, you know, I was like, okay.
Yolanda's suicidal standoff with police lasts into the night.
Yolanda! You have more to live for than this. Think about your mom right now. Don't let it end like this. Put the gun down. Yolanda?
Got her. She's got a handgun to her head.
I'm going to do it, Larry!
Think about this.
Selena's fans want justice for their slain idol. But will her killer even make it to trial? March 31st, 1995. Yolanda Saldivar has shot and killed Tejano superstar Selena. She has been in a standoff with police for hours and sits in her vehicle with a gun to her head.
Yolanda.
I don't want to live anymore.
Yolanda.
We were stuck wondering, you know, how long is this going to go on? Can they get the drop on her and just, you know, grab the gun from her if they've all got her surrounded just right?
And I'm telling her what she needs to do, you know, to resolve this and be safe and all that. She was listening to me and said she trusts me and all this kind of stuff.
It's time to come out, Yolanda.
Okay,
come on, Yolanda.
I'm coming now.
Let's do it now, Yolanda. Yeah, yes.
I'm coming now.
Vamanos, vamanos.
You wanted to see her get what was coming to her. And instead, you know, they're talking to her. Again, you guys are being too nice. Well, no. Larry was doing what he was supposed to do. And he did a great job.
You need to take the 3 steps toward him, Yolanda. You need to take 3 full steps toward him.
Police tackle Yolanda to the ground and subdue her. As she's led away by police, Yolanda discovers the truth about Selena's fate.
After 9 long hours, Yolanda Saldivar was finally in custody. And in speaking with negotiator Larry Young, she asked about Selena.
She said, well, how is she? And I just kind of silence. And then I said, well, she didn't make it. And she goes, what do you mean she didn't make it? And I said, she's not here anymore. And she just starts squealing in the car, crying, and lay on my shoulder and has cried and cried all the way to the station.
Selena is buried in a cemetery in Corpus Christi. Her funeral draws thousands of mourners. Yolanda Saldivar's trial for the murder of Selena begins in October 1995 and becomes one of the most sensational in Texas history. It's moved to Houston to get an impartial jury. The trial lasts for 14 days.
There was thousands of people around the courthouse every single day.
For Mexican Americans in Texas, it was the crime of the century, but it was pretty much a cut and dried murder case.
In her defense, Yolanda Saldivar claims the shooting was accidental.
The aftermath was very important, and that's where we brought all the people who were in the hotel who saw what happened after the shooting. What happened after the shooting was indicative that this was an intentional act, and she would have shot her again if she had a chance. This was not an accident.
After less than 3 hours of deliberation, the jury returns with their verdict.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Yolanda Saldivar, guilty of the offense of murder as alleged in the indictment.
The crowd outside the courthouse erupts.
They had speakers outside the courtroom. You could hear the people down screaming. You could hear it all the way up to the courthouse. You could hear car horns honking. You could hear all the people screaming and screaming. I can imagine if it had been not guilty. Oh, my God.
The jury doesn't buy her explanation that the shooting was an accident. District Attorney and Chief Prosecutor Carlos Valdez asks for the maximum penalty from the jury.
I don't look at cases as winning or losing. I think justice was done. We have a family that lost their daughter, never going to get her back. She's gone.
Hey, back up!
Yolanda Saldivar is given a 30-year prison sentence, which she begins serving at a woman's state prison in Gatesville, Texas. She sticks by her story that the shooting was an accident. She will be eligible for parole in 2025.
I don't think that anyone in the community feels that she should get parole. I don't think that Ms. Saldivar will be paroled even in 2025 on April 1st. The crime that she committed warrants a life sentence, and she should spend the rest of her life in prison.
In 2017, District Attorney Mark Gonzalez releases the trial exhibits to be photographed for the first time ever. Still kept in the court files are Selena's blood-stained tennis shoes, Saldivar's briefcase, and many other items. One piece of evidence, the Fabergé egg ring that Yolanda gave to Selena, is unaccounted for. The legacy of Yolanda Saldivar's victim, Selena, still resonates today.
Enough years have passed that she's kind of gone into that legend status where you still feel the hurt, but it's more distant now.
On November 3rd, 2017, Selena is honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It draws the largest ever crowd for a Walk of Fame ceremony.
The outpouring was incredible. And just in every corner in Mexican-American culture in this state, you would see it expressed. That's when I started realizing this is going to be lasting for a long, long time. And this has transcended Texas. This has transcended the Mexican-American experience. This has impacted not just the Latino world. This has impacted the world. And the whole world knows about Selena now.
That concludes this episode of Murder Made Me Famous. Don't forget to go to Reels.com, that's Reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more. And don't forget to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.